Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome to today's Daf Yomi Nida Daf Samach Zayin. We're on the last line of the previous Daf. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Isha leisitbol benamal. A woman should not be toivel, should not go to the mikveh in a harbor, in a port, since we're concerned that the boats that frequent the port have stirred up the mud and they may pose a chatzitza and prevent the water from coming into contact with the isha. Afa gav da hashalak, even though at the present we don't see any mud on her. Eimar berdiyuni nafal, we're concerned that perhaps the mud was shaken off while she emerged from the water. Avu de Shmuel, we see in the following story a similar concern. Avu de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Avad Lubantse, he prepared for his daughters to be toivel from their tuma. Mikvois bimei Nisan, he prepared for them mikvois during the days of Nisan, immediately following the winter time. Umaftsi bimei Tishrei, and mats in the days of Tishrei. Now, what is this referring to? So, the halacha is that a mikveh can be valid in two forms, either a mayan or a mikveh. A mayan is a natural spring. A mikveh is a gathering of water. Now, the fundamental difference, halachic difference between these two types of waters, a natural spring, a mayan, may be used even if it is zeichlin, even if it's running water, even if it's not stationary in one place. However, regarding a mikveh, a boir, an enclosed, a gathering of water, in that case it needs to be kavu v'kaimi, it needs to be stationary still in one spot. It can't be moving, it can't be zeichlin. See, a mikveh, it's not just coming into contact, immersing yourself in the water of the mikveh. It needs to be in the place, in the makom of the mikveh. You need to immerse in the domain, in the actual makom ha-mikveh. Therefore, only if it is bimkaima, it is stationary, it is still. However, if it's on the move, if it's on the go, then it is not valid for tefillah. However, regarding a mayan, a natural spring of water, in that case, it is kasha, even if it's flowing. That is its natural state, it's flowing. It's flowing, as the pasuk says, kol ha-nahar is holchan al-yam, all the waters channel. They flow towards the ocean. That is the Seder Habriya. That is the natural phenomenon for all the streams in the world. Therefore, that is still considered the Mekayimah. That is the, you are being tevil in the stream, even if it's moving along. So that is the fundamental difference between a Mayon and a Mikveh. Now, regarding a river, which is fed by natural springs, so that depends at what point of the year we're speaking about. If it is Yomei Nisan, it is after a long rain period of the winter, or it is Yomei Tishrei, which is after a dry summer. So the Gemara explains to us that Avu de Shmuel, he used to prepare a mikveh for his daughters to be used during the Yomei Nisan. He did not allow them to be toivel in the Mayan, in the Dinar, in the river. However, B'Yomei Tishrei, he would allow them to use the Nar, but he would prepare mats for them to avoid come into contact with the riverbed, which may be muddy, and pose a problem of chatzitza. Now, what is the difference between Tishrei and Nisan? Very simple. During the Yomei Nisan, which is after the full winter and the rain periods, at that point, the level of the river is swollen, it's above normal, and it is full of, it contains a lot of the rainwater, which was channeled to it throughout the winter. In that case, the river is not necessarily considered to be a mayan, even though it is fed by natural spring water. However, since it filled up, it swelled as a result of the influx of the megashamim, of the rainwater. Now, the megashamim are not mayan, they're not spring water. Megashamim can only be matir, can only be used if they're gathered in one place and not moving along. So therefore, a river which contains, we're concerned that at that point, after the winter, it contains a majority of megashamim. Most of the river consists of megashamim. Therefore, the river cannot be used as a mikveh since it is moving along. It is on the go, it is on the move, it is zeichlin. And rainwater are not matar b'zoichlin. So the river has a status of a mikvah, and therefore it cannot be used since it's moving along. So therefore he did not allow them to use the river during the Yayim Nisan, but rather he prepared for them a mikvah of still water. However, b'mei Tishrei, which is after a summer, at that point the river is back to its normal level, and since it is fed primarily by spring water, it has a status of a mayan, and therefore even if it's zeichlin, even if it's moving, it is still a kasher mikvah. So again, avod Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, avod lebansi, prepared for his daughter's mikvois. He needed to prepare special mikvahs b'yayim Nisan. That was after the winter when the river was invalid for tefillah. Umafti, and during b'yayim Tishrei, and during the days of Tishrei, which was post-summer, when the river was kasher for tefillah, since it now is primarily consisting of natural spring water, so even if it's moving along, if it's zeichen, it is kasher, so he allowed them to be tevil. However, he was concerned regarding the mud, so therefore he did umafzi, he prepared mats so that they don't come into contact with the mud and there's no issue of chatzitza. So here we see as well a concern regarding mud in the river. Continues the Gemara, another couple of halachas regarding chatzitza. Amarav gidol amarav. Nosno tavshilivna betavla. If a woman handed a tavshil, a cooked food, a sticky food, she came into contact with something sticky, betavla, and she was tabled after she gave the tavshil to her son. Ve'olsa, and she emerged from the mikvah, lo yolsa la tefillah, that her tefillah is puzzled, it's invalid. Afagav dehashtaleka. Right now there's nothing on her hands, we don't see anything, any substance left on her hand. Emer, we suspect bird yuninafal, that when she emerged from the mikvah, it got shaken off and it got cleaned off, but certainly it was there, it was present during her tefillah, and invalidated the tefillah. Amar Ami Bar Abba, another halacha regarding chatzitzes, hani ravde de kusilta. These scabs, which result from the punctures of the blood lettering, is this considered a chatzitza since it is not the natural skin, it is merely a scab? So there's a distinction, ad tlosa yoimi loichaitzi, up until 3 days, does not pose a chatzitza since it is still soft, it is still butl to the guf, it's considered like normal flesh. Mikan ve'elach, but once it hardens after 3 days, chaitzi, it is indeed a chatzitza. Amamar ukva, lifluf sheba'ayin, mucus that's inside the eye, that depends, lach, if it's still moist, ein chaitzitz, it's not a chatzitza since something that is moist allows the water to penetrate through it and it does not is not considered to be a hefsek, a chatzitza, to pass the tefillah. Yavesh chaitzitz, but if it's already dried up, at that point it is a mafsik, it is a chatzitza, since it is preventing the water from coming to contact. Eimasai nikur yavesh, at what point does it have the status of a yavesh? Misho shemascha lirak, for when it begins to turn green. Amar Shmuel, another halacha regarding chatzitzes, kechoyel shebaayin. They used to use some blue powder for cosmetic purposes, so they used to put it inside the eye, sometimes outside the eye. So if it's inside the eye, kechoyel shebaayin, if she puts the kechoyel inside the eye, at that point, any chatzitz, it is not a chatzitza, since the moisture within the eye moisturizes this powder and liquefies it. And as we spoke earlier, liquid does not pose a chatzitza since it allows the water to penetrate through it, does not prevent contact. Shal gabe ayin, however, if she put the kechoyel on the outside of the eye, at that point, chatzitz, because the powder is a mafsik, it's dry, and therefore it prevents the water from reaching and is a chatzitza. However, im hayu einei perchais, if she blinks, and she blinks a lot, and therefore the blinking action, what it does is it loosens the powder, or removes the powder, and only leaves just a little bit of a insignificant amount, some really thin film of this powder. So in that case, since it's so insignificant, afilu gab al gabia ayin, even if the kechoyel is outside, on top of the eye, on the outside, ene chaitzitz, since there's not much left there. Om Rav Yechon, another halacha regarding chatzitzes. If she, while she's tovel, she opens her eyes very wide, and that causes a fold to form on the top of the eyelid. If she closes her eyes very tight, and that forms a fold on the bottom of the eyelids. So again, it's preventing the water from reaching where it should be reaching. Like also la tefila, her tefila is pasul. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Shlakish, ha'isha lo sitvoil el derech de'lasa. An isha should be tevil derech de'lasa in the usual manner in which she stands and conducts her business. Meaning, she should not cling her arms to her guf, to her body tightly. She should not put her feet together very tightly. At the same time, there's no need for her to extend her hands unnecessarily or extend her feet apart unnecessarily. But rather, she should stand and be toivel in the usual manner in the way she walks and she conducts her usual activities. Meaning, just loose, not tight, nor exceptionally extended. Kiddusnan, as we have learned a similar halacha in the following Mishnah, regarding a nega. If a man has a nega, he needs to show it to the kohen, and the kohen determines whether it is a nega tor or nega tamei. Now the halacha is, the pasuk says, l'chol marei eini ha-kohen. The kohen needs to have open access, it has to be visible. The nega has to be visible to the marei eini ha-kohen, to the vision of the kohen. And this comes to exclude lafuke beis hastorim. If the nega is found in a concealed area, it is not considered a nega and the person remains tahor. Now, what is an example of beis hastorim? The armpit or between the legs in a hidden area, beis ha'erva. So how do we determine what is inside the beis hastorim and what is considered outside the beis hastorim? What is the borderline between the two areas? Says the Mishnah, we look at the person, we examine the person as he stands, as he positions himself in a manner in which he conducts, himself, in which he does his usual activities. For example, says the Mishnah, "Kedesnan ha'ish nirka oider." You need to take a person and position him in a way that he is plowing, he is oider. And this is concerning a nega which is found in the armpit. So when he is being oider, when he is plowing, he's extending his hand just a little bit, not too much and not too little. And this is a determination of what is considered the beis hastorim and what is not. If you see it while he is being oider, then that is evidently not in the beis hastorim. If it is hidden, then indeed it is considered the beis hastorim. Umaisak zesim, and if you find a nega, if a nega is present between the legs in the beis ha'erva area, then we look at him, we position him in a way that he stands when he is maisak zesim, when he is gathering olives from the floor, that he bends down a bit and spreads his legs a bit, and that is a determination for what is considered concealed and what is considered revealed. By an isha, however, we do it a bit differently. Isha niris kaireges, we view her as she is weaving, and that is regarding a nega which is found in the armpit area. So when she's weaving, since she lifts her hands a bit, that is a true determination of what is considered concealed and what is revealed. Ukaminikas b'na, and when she is nursing a child, where she bends over a bit, and that would be a simon regarding a nega found between the legs. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabba Barav Huna, Nima, a hair which is knotted, Nima Achas, a single hair which is knotted, Keshura, Chaitzetzes, a single hair which is knotted is a chatzitza, since one hair which is knotted into itself prevents the water from reaching that area inside the knot, and is considered to be a chatzitza. Shalish, if you have three hairs that are knotted together, Einan chaitzitzes, they do not pose a chatzitza, since hair are stiff, and even if they are tied together, it is not tight enough to disallow water to penetrate in between them. So one is a chatzitza, three together does not get tight enough to pose a chatzitza. Shtayim, any idea, what about if it's in between? It's not one, it's not three, it's two. I'm uncertain, I have a suffix, not sure whether this is a chatzitza or not. Rabbi Yechanan Omar, anu ein lanu elo achas. We only know that one hair that is knotted is considered a chatzitza, but past one is not a chatzitza, whether it's two or whether it's three. So in conclusion, we had a list of chatzitza concerns. Number one, not being tovel in the nahar for fear of the mud that's present there. We had the halacha of an isha who should not come into contact with tafshu, with the cooked food. She should not provide her son, feed her son. And even if you don't find the remnants of this tafshul after tefillah, they're still concerned that perhaps it was there and it came off during the tefillah, on the way out of the tefillah. We have the next halacha regarding the scab. Depends whether it's within 3 days or after 3 days, when it is considered to be batel, considered to be part of the skin if it's still soft, but once it dries up, it is not considered to be part of the skin and it is a chatzitza. We have the halacha regarding mucus inside the eye, depends if it's lach, depends if it's yavesh. We have the halacha of the kheil, of the cosmetic powder. We have the halacha of taking care not to open the eyes too wide or shut them too tight, but rather keep it loose, keep it just plain, and avoid chatzitza. The next halacha regarding what is the correct position of tefillah, it is the usual manner of walking and conducting business, and we had a support from the halacha, a similar halacha regarding negayim. Finally, we had halacha regarding a chatzitza due to a knotted hair. There is machlekes, according to one shita, one is a chatzitza, three is not, two is a safek. According to Rabbi Yochanan, only one is a chatzitza. If it's more than one knotted hair, it is not, for instance, if there are two that are bound to themselves, at that point, it is not tight enough to constitute a chatzitza. Continues the Gemara. How much is a chatzitza? What is the shear? What is the amount that is considered to be a chatzitza? Om Rav Yitzchak Dvar Torah, according to the Raisa, according to the Din Torah, Rashi explains this is a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. It is not written clearly in the Torah, but it is a halacha which we receive from Moshe, who heard at Sinai. Dvar Torah, Rubai Hamakvid Olav Chotitz. There are two conditions that are required to determine that something is a chatzitza. Number one, it has to be Rubai. It has to be present in the majority. Rashi explains this to mean the majority of the se'aris of the hair. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that this is regarding even a chatzitza which is present on the guf as well. Rubai, majority of the guf, that is the condition of rubai. So achleikus rishonim, whether the Gemara is referring to roiv se'aris or roiv of the whole guf. In any case, the first condition is rubai. It has to be roiv, a majority. It has to be a very, very significant amount of chatzitza there. The second condition is hamakvid. It has to be something that he is makvid on, that he objects to its presence. He'd rather have it off. He intends on removing it. So in that case, when you meet those two conditions, it is A, rubai, B, it is makvid alav, chaytitz. That is the din Torah. Rubai ve'enei makvid alav. But if it is rubai, it is a very large chatzitza. But he is not too concerned with it. He's not makvid on it. Einoi chaytitz. So min ha-Torah, that does not constitute a chatzitza. Since he's not makvid on it, Rashi in Sukkah explains that since he has no intentions of removing it, he's not too concerned with it. Therefore, it is batel. It is considered to be as if it's part of the guf, part of his basar, part of his flesh, and is not considered to be a chatzitza, and is fine. Continues the Gemara. This is midrash. However, midrabbanan, they enacted a gzera to safeguard the din Torah. Meaning, min ha-Torah, you're required to have two conditions, rubai and makvid. Said the Rabbanon, v'gazru. The Rabbanon decreed, al rubai she'eni makvid. He decreed, even if there are only one of these aspects present, either it's rubai or it's makvid, that is sufficient to constitute a chatzitza. V'gazru l'chacham v'gazru al rubai she'eni makvid. If it is a very significant chatzitza, it is roiv, it is very large. But, nevertheless, he doesn't care, he's not makvid. Mishum rubi hamakvid. Chachamim enacted a din chatzitza, a takana, a gzera regarding a roiv, even if he's not makvid. Why? On account of the halach of midaraisa of rubi hamakvid, which is a chatzitza midaraisa. So they always went one step ahead, meaning in order not to transgress isa daraisa, chachamim made a takana. We have to stay one step ahead, even if only one of those two conditions are present. For instance, it's rubai, even though he's not makvid, it still constitutes a chatzitza and invalidates the tefillah. Similarly, regarding the second condition, v'gazru al mi'utei hamakvid, and they were geyser, even if it's only a mi'ut, it's only on the minority, but he's a makvid, it's not so big, but he is makvid, he is particular, he would like it to be removed, he objects to the presence of this chatzitza, he's makvid. In that case, too, it's considered to be a chatzitza. Why did they do that? Why did the Chachamim consider it to be a chatzitza? Mishum, on account of Rubei HaMakbid, on account of the chatzitza midaraisa by a Rubei HaMakbid. So they always stayed one step ahead. Either one of these two conditions, either it's Rubei or it's Makbid, we still consider it to be a chatzitza, gzeira mishum Rubei HaMakbid, which is a chatzitza midaraisa. Ask the Gemara, what if it's missing both conditions? It's neither Rubei, neither Makbid. It's only a small chatzitza, and he's not too concerned about it. What about that case? V'ligzer nami, why didn't the Chachamim make a gzera as well? In the case of mi'utosh eini makvid, in the case where it's a mi'ut, and in addition, he is not too concerned about this chatzitza, mishum mi'ut ha-makvid. Since you are invalidating a mi'ut ha-makvid on account of the hakpada, since there is one condition present, he is being makvid, he objects, you just told me that, midrabanan, we consider it to be a chatzitza and validates the tefillah, so too the chacham should be geyser, should make a gzeira, even by a miut she'eni makpid, since it is one step close to miut ha-makpid. Says the Gemara, there's a big difference here. He goof a gzeira. A miut ha-makpid is merely a gzeira d'rabbanon. And therefore, we cannot enact a gzeira based on a gzeira d'rabbanon. We can't say, well, in order not to fall into, not to transgress a Issa d'Rabbanan, we will forbid even something which is a step ahead of that. We don't do that. Why? He goof a gzera, since it itself is a gzera d'Rabbanan, v'anam nekum v'nigzer, should we go ahead and make and act gzera, one safeguard to benefit another safeguard? We don't do that. The Chachamim only have the power to make a gzera to prevent, to ensure that we do not transgress Issa d'Oraisa. We need to stay a step ahead of the Issa d'Oraisa as a mishmeres, as a safeguard. As the Gemara says, we derive the halacha of making a mishmeres, making a gzera from the pasuk. The Gemara is darshan, vasu mishmeres l'mishmarti. Mishmartim es mishmarti. You should safeguard my laws. So the Gemara in Beis says, Rashi explains that the implication of that pasuk is you can only make a safeguard for a din Torah. You can only enact a gzera one step next to the halacha issa d'oraisa, so that one doesn't come near issa d'oraisa. It's like a fence, like a gate around a precious object. However, to go one step even beyond that and say, well, if there is a gzera, why don't we make a safeguard for that safeguard so that one doesn't even come close to the gzera, that's already too far removed, and we don't do that. So in summary, min ha-Torah, what constitutes a chatzitza? If it meets two conditions, A, it is rubai, it is a very large chatzitza, which covers a majority, and in addition, it is makbid, he is concerned with this chatzitza, he objects to it, he'd like to remove it. So it's interesting that the first condition is denoting the significance of the actual chatzitza. It is a quality in the actual inherent chatzitza, because it's so big, it's so significant, it is considered to be a mafsik. The second condition of makpid, that is describing the person's frame of mind. It is a chatzitza, it constitutes a halachic status of a chatzitza on account of the person's hakpada, the gavra's hakpada, and therefore both together, both components together, they join to give this thing a din chatzitza. This is midaraisa. Midrabbanan, however, Chachamim enacted a safeguard, and they disallowed even when one of these conditions are present. Either it's rubai or it's makvid. However, when both are absent, it is neither rubai nor is makvid, then even midrabbanan, it is not a chatzitza. Now there's a question asked on this Gemara, since nowadays we're makvid, we take great care to remove any chatzitzas, even a tiny chatzitza which is only miut, and even if the person is not makbid, does not have any intentions of removing it. Says Rama, we need to remove that as well, so that we don't confuse things and we don't come anywhere near the true chatzitzas. Ask the Taz, what about gzera l'gzera? The Gemara here states explicitly that Chacham did not forbid such a minor chatzitza, since it is a gzera l'gzera. Says the Taz, when the Gemara speaks about gzera l'gzera, that is that the Chachamim didn't invalidate a tefillah when performed in such a manner. They didn't passel a tefillah with a chatzitza of a miut she'enei makvid, just as they did regarding a chatzitza where one of those two conditions were present, whether it was rubai or miutai. In that case, the actual tefillah was passel on account of the gzera. But Chacham will not passel a tefillah in a case of a miutai she'enei makvid. That's too far removed from the true chatzitza, the original chatzitza midaraisa. What the Ramah is speaking about is something entirely different. The Ramah is speaking about l'chatchila. It is preferable, it is better, it is advised for a person to remove anything from his guf prior to tefillah. However, b'di'eved, certainly if he didn't do so, and there was something present which was just insignificant, it was a miut she'enei makvid, certainly the tefillah is kasher. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav, Nida b'zmana, Anida, in her prescribed period of tefillah, we know that Anida who sees dam, she is tummy for 7 days, and is tayvel on the night following the full 7 days. She needs to wait for the complete 7 days. We learn from the pasuk Tia binidasa, she is considered to be a state of anida. Kol zayin, the full 7, she needs to wait until nightfall. So if she's being tayvel bizmana at the completion of the 7 days, ain't tevelas el balayla. She needs to be tayvel at night. She needs to wait for nightfall. Shalei bizmana, however, if it's already past the time, say it's already the 8th or the 9th day, there is no stipulation for her to be tevel dafka specifically at night. Tevelas ben v'yem ben malayla, she can be tevel by day or at night, since it's already past the full 7 days. There is no halacha stipulating that she needs to be tevel specifically at night. The point is just she needs to wait for the completion of the full 7 days. But if it's already the 8th or the 9th day, she can be tevel even by yom. Rav Yechon Nomar, true. Technically speaking, theoretically speaking, she can be tevel by day, once it's already the 8th or the 9th day. But there's another additional concern. Even if it's already past the time, if it's already the 8th or the 9th day, we don't allow it to be tevel only at night. Why? So that her daughter should not follow her in her footsteps. Meaning her daughter will notice that her mother is going to the mikvah by day. She will not differentiate between the 7th, the 8th, or the 9th day. She will think in her mind, it's probably the 7th day, and she's being tevel by day. So we see that's permissible. And when it comes her turn to be tevel, she may go be tevel by day, which will be the 7th day. And that is not permitted. So therefore, out of concern for this development of the Shrach Vita, of her daughter confusing things and transgressing the halachas, we disallow the tefillah by yom, regardless of if it's the 7th day, the 8th day, or the 9th day. It says the Gemara, even Rav reversed his decision, his halacha. Nida, bein bezmana, bein mishle bezmana, einu teveles, ela balayla. Why? Mishum shrach bita. So we see that Rav agrees to Rav Yechanan's halacha that a woman, a nida, should never be tevel by day on account of shrach bita, as to not to confuse her daughter. Continues the Gemara. This is only a lechatchila. There are some circumstances in which we have to allow anisha to be tevel during the daytime, provided that it's already past the full 7 days. For instance, askin Rav Idi ben Narash, Rav Idi enacted in the town of Narash, lemitvel b'yoyma de temnaya, to be tevel during the day of the 8th day, mishum aryivasa, because there were lions prowling at night, and in order to prevent the woman from being exposed to danger, he allowed them to be tevel by day. This was an exceptional circumstance. Aracha bar Yaakov Papunya as well, in the town of Papunya, Mishum Ganvi enacted this leniency because of the Ganovim who were present at night, the thieves that prowled the streets at night. Rav Yehuda did the same thing in Pumbadisa, Mishum Tzina, because of the extreme cold. Rava b'Machayza, in the town of Machayza, he paskened the similar halacha Mishum Avalai because of the gatekeepers who were Goyim and did not want to expose the Nashim to these negative elements. Continues the Gemara. Omali Rav Papa l'Rav l'Abai. Michti. Let's take a look. Let's see. Ha'idna, nowadays, after we accepted upon ourselves the Chumra de Rav Zera, that an Isha who sees even a Mashu, even a drop of Dam, considers herself to be a Zava and observes Shiva Nakim a full 7 days. Now we know that, unlike a Nida who needs to wait until nightfall of the 7th day, a Zava, on the other hand, in her case, she can be tevel, even be a mama, even during the 7th day, even during the day. She doesn't need to wait for nightfall, as soon as she observes part of the 7th day b'tahara, we apply the halacha of miktsa sayem kekuloi, consider part of the day to be have the same significance as a full day. She can already be toivel. Now there's one condition here. After she's toivel, she needs to monitor her situation. If she remains clean until the end of the day, fine. Otherwise, if she for some reason would see more dam after the tefillah, that forfeits, that invalidates retroactively her tefillah. So technically speaking, she can be toivel anytime during the 7th day, provided that she stays tar throughout the rest of the day. Says the Gemara, Michti ha'idna, nowadays, kulu safek zaveh shavin rabbanon. The rabbanon have applied the most stringent guideline to our women. We consider them to be safek zaveh. Perhaps they are bimei zivasam, perhaps they have a status of ziva, and therefore they have to observe shivan akim regardless of how many times she saw, how much she saw, and she is safer shivan akim. And at the completion of the Shivan Akim, she is Toivel. Said Rav Papa, why can't they be Toivel B'Yayim? Why are they restricted to Tfilas Laila? If she would really be a Nida, she sees Dam Sunday, and she has a status of a Nida, then true, she has to wait until 7 days, until Matzah Shabbos, to be Toivel. But in our case, she's waiting for the Dam to stop flowing, and then only afterwards, she's observing 7 days as a Zava would. Why can't she have the leniency of a Zava and be Toivel by day of the 7th day? Let her be Toivel during the middle of the 7th day. Says the Gemara, Mishum de Rav Shimon, there's a problem, there's a Gzeir de Rabbanon, the Sanya Achar Titer. The Pasuk says that an Isha who's a Zava, she observes Shivan Akim, afterwards she is Toivel, she's Tor. So we darshan, Achar Lekulon. The Pasuk Achar is implying that needs to be after the full 7 clean days, there can't be any dam anywhere in the middle. If she sees any dam within the 7 days, that invalidates, that cancels out the whole, the days that she had already counted up. Until then, she needs to count all over again. There shouldn't be any tumah interrupting the 7 days. There has to be a 7 consecutive yimei tahara. Rav Shimon Omer, we learn another thing from here. Achar titar, after she is tar, what does achar mean? Achar maisa titar. After she did an action, even she only was safer, she observed only part of the day, she did somewhat of a mice of an action, titar, she's already tar because part of the 7th day is considered like a whole day, miktas hayayim kekule. So technically, she can be tevil right now, right in the morning. Aval amr chacham, and chacham stipulated, also lasas kain, don't do it, shema tovay de sofik, since there is a doubt here, there is an uncertainty as to what the rest of the day will bring. Perhaps there'll be a negative development after she's tevil, she will see dam again. So don't jeopardize yourself, don't allow yourself to come to a suffix iser by being tevil and being mishamish, and then afterwards perhaps she will see dam again and jeopardize and forfeit everything that happened and invalidate the tefillah. That would inevitably mean that they were mishamish betumah, and that would be a avera. Therefore, don't do it, don't be tevil until the end of the day. So that was the answer that Abaye Verova provided Rav Papa. Nowadays as well, even though she has the status of a Zava, however, midrabanan, you are meant to wait until the completion of the full 7 days, until nightfall, and only then be toivel. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Isha chefefes be'echad b'shabas, v'tevelas b'shlishi b'shabas. We know that Isha needs to do chafifa, needs to scrub and clean herself, free of any chatzitzes, of anything that might get in the way of the mayim, of the water reaching her. Now, l'chadchila, it is preferred to be chayfeif in the afternoon, immediately prior to tefillah samach, l'chafifa tefillah, to ensure that no chatzitza surface between the chafifa and the tefillah. Says Rav Huna, a great chiddush. An isha can be chayfeif on Sunday afternoon, although she's only intending to be tevil b'shlishi b'shabbos on Tuesday. Here it means Monday night, beginning of Tuesday, even though there is a day in between the chafifa and the tefillah. Why is that allowed? Because we find elsewhere that an isha is allowed to do that. She's allowed to allow a day to elapse between the chafifa and the tefillah. We're not concerned about chatzitzes. See, here too, she's allowed to do it, and there's no concern of chatzitz. Shekein, since we find a similar halacha, where isha chayfev is erev Shabbos, v'tavel is moitzoy Shabbos. If an isha is tevel on Matzah Shabbos, in that case she cannot be chayfev by day immediately prior to the tefillah, since it is Shabbos, and being chayfef, scrubbing the hair would detach some hair, and that would be a malach of geizes. So in that case, there is no possibility, there is no afsharis to be chayfef samach tefillah. She needs to be chayfef way back on Erev Shabbos. So we see that's allowed, just like she's allowed to be chayfef on Erev Shabbos, and be tevel on Matzah Shabbos, even though there is a full day in between. Similarly, b'moisa chayla on a weekday, an ordinary tefillah, an isha can do that as well. She can be chayfev today, although she's only being tevel a day later. Similarly, isha chayfevas be'echad b'Shabbos, v'tevelas b'shlishi b'Shabbos. She can even be tevel on Sunday afternoon, even though b'reviyah Shabbos, even though she's only being tevel on Wednesday, meaning Tuesday night, even though there's a full 2 day gap in between the chafifa and the tefillah. Why? Why is that allowed? Shekein isha chayfeves be'erev Shabbos v'tevelas moitzo yontif shecholiyas achar Shabbos. In the case where yontif falls out on Matzah Shabbos, in that case there's a similar concern. She cannot be chayfev during the day on yontif because of malacha. She has to be chayfev back on erev Shabbos, although it's a full 2 days in between the chafifa and tefillah. So similarly, an isha can be chayfev even during the weekday with such a configuration of chafifa today, although she's only being tevel 2 days later. The third chiddush is ishi chayfefes be'echad b'Shabbos and tevelas b'chamishi b'Shabbos. This is already a very big time gap. This is already a 3 day time gap between the chafifa and the tefillah, and that is allowed as well. Why? Shekein ishi chayfefes be'erev Shabbos v'tevelas moitzoi shnei yomim tovim shal Rosh Hashanah shecholiyas achar Shabbos. Since we find that if 2 days of Yom Tov fall out on Matzah Shabbos, in that case, when she's chayfef on Erev Shabbos, and is only tevel 3 days later, Matzah, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which is 3 days later, that's fine. Similarly here, she can be chayfef on Sunday, even though she's only been tevel on Wednesday night, which is a full 3 days in between. Rav Chisda Amar, no, we don't say that. Kulu Amrinan, when it's unavoidable, Kulu, all these cases where she's tevel Matzah Shabbos, or she's tevel Matzah Yom Tov, which is immediately following Shabbos, or in the case of 2 days Rosh Hashanah, fine, it's unavoidable. We have no option. Therefore, it's allowed. But you can't draw an analogy to a regular weekday tefillah. Shekein lo yamrinan. We don't say this is allowed here because we find it elsewhere. Heichad efshar efshar. Where we could do it properly, certainly we should do it properly. We should be masmir l'chafifa l'tefillah and be chayfev immediately preceding the tefillah. Heichad lo yefshar, lo yefshar. When it's not possible, fine. We have no choice. We can't draw a comparison from one to the other. A third shita, Rav Yehima Amar, Afilu Shekein Nami Yamrinan. He agrees with Rav Huna. We do draw a comparison. We do say the analogy of Shekein, just like we find it elsewhere. So too, it is allowed even in an ordinary Yom HaChoyel Tevila. She can allow a gap of 1 day, 2 day duration between the Chafifa and the Tevila. However, Levar, there's one exception. What was your third case? Rav Huna said even she's chayfev on Sunday and tevel Thursday, meaning Wednesday night, which is 3 days later, that's allowed on account of the tefillah of a matzeh to Yom Tovim Rosh Hashanah after Shabbos. Says Rav Yemar, I disagree with that. In the case of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah after Shabbos, in that case, we don't allow her. In that case either, we don't allow her to be chayfev so far apart from the tefillah. In that case, she'll have to be chayfev on Matzah Rosh Hashanah. Levar says the Gemara, Me'isha chayfeves be'echad b'Shabbos, v'tevelets b'chamisha b'Shabbos. In the case of Sunday to Thursday, that's not allowed. Why? Because what was your analogy? You brought a raya from Rosh Hashanah, which fell after Shabbos. L'moitzoi shnei yom tovim shor Rosh Hashanah, sh'l'achar Shabbos l'asa. In that case, either she is not allowed to be marchik, to generate such a great gap between the chafifa and the tefillah, the efsha, the chayfef is balayla, but tevel is balayla. In that case, since it is such a great duration between the chafifa and the tefillah, we don't even allow it then, and she will have to inevitably do the chatzitza at night, matzei Rosh Hashanah. So we have two extreme shitas and something in the middle. Rav Huna says, you're allowed to allow even a day, 2 days, or 3 days in between the chafifa and the tefillah on account of the fact that we find a similar halacha elsewhere. Says Rav Huna, I disagree with that. When you have no choice, it's unavoidable, fine. But if it's just an ordinary tefillah during a weekday, certainly there's no allowance for any gaps between the time of Chafifa and the time of Tefillah, she needs to do it Samach, immediately preceding to the Tefillah. Rabbi Yehuda says somewhere in the middle. I agree with Rav Huna that we do draw an analogy from what we find elsewhere, and therefore a one-day gap or two-day gap is permissible. However, a three-day gap is never permitted, since even a Matzah Rosh Hashanah, we do not allow that, since it's too great of a gap, and she needs to be Chayfif at night, Matzah Rosh Hashanah. Continues the Gemara one more Shita, Darash Marema, Hilchasuk Rav Chizda, the halacha follows like Rav Chizda, Ukedematarat Rav Yemar, like the interpretation of Rav Yemar, meaning, Rav Mareimar assumed all the stringencies. He took on the stringency of Rav Chizda that we do not draw analogies. If we find this elsewhere, we find the halacha allowing a gap between the Chafifa and the Tefillah, that's only where it's Layefshar, where it's unavoidable. Suppose it's a Matzah Shabbos, a Matzah Yom Tov. Then we allow it. However, in the case of a weekday Tefillah, you're not allowed to leave any gaps between the Chafifa and the Tefillah. So that is assuming the Shita of Rav Chizda. Ukedematarat Rav Yemar, according to Rav Yemar's interpretation, meaning I'm adopting even the stringency of Rav Yemar, which is that on a Matzah Shnei Yom Tovim Rosh Hashanah after Shabbos, which would inevitably create a three-day gap from Erev Shabbos till Matzah Rosh Hashanah, I agree with Rav Yemar that is not allowed. In that case, you will have to be chayfev at night. So in summary, we have four shitas. Rav Huna says, Shekain, we draw an analogy just like we find something elsewhere, an allowance of a gap of a day, 2 days, 3 days between the Chafifa and the Tefillah, so too an ordinary Isha on an ordinary Tefillah, b'may sachayil on a weekday, she's allowed to leave a gap. Quote Rav Chizda, that is not allowed. It's only when it's unavoidable. Otherwise, you cannot leave any gaps. Rav Yehuda says, yes, we do draw an analogy, we do compare the halacha of a weekday to those halachas of Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Yom Tov, but there's one exception, which is Matzah Shnei Yom Tovim Rosh Hashanah, where we do not allow a three-day gap in any case, and she needs to do the Chafifa at night. The fourth Shita is Mareimar, who adopted everybody's stringencies. He adopted the Shita of Rav Chizda, that an ordinary weekday tefillah does not allow for any gaps. In addition, he adopted the Chumra of Rav Yemar, that even when it's unavoidable, it's seemingly unavoidable, it's a Shabbos with two Rosh Hashanahs, we do not allow a Rechak of Chafifa from the tefillah, and she needs to do a Chafifa on Matzah Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, they asked the question, Isha Mao Shatachav Balaila, Vetitva Balaila. It's preferred for an Isha, of course, to be Chayfef by day. Rashi explains so that she shouldn't be rushed and she should clean herself properly. Therefore, we prefer that she does the Chafifa, the cleaning process, by day and is only Toivah at night. But however, if that, for some reason, is not practical, can she be Chayfef Balaila? Marzutra Iser, Marzutra says it's not permitted. Rav Chizda Misuri, Misura Shari. He says it's okay. Wasn't there a following incident? But Visu the Abamari Resh Galusa, regarding the wife of Abamari, the Resh Galusa, the head of the community, the Ikud, there was some sort of quarrel there, and she refused to go to the mikvah. He went to pacify her, and she told him, "Why are you coming to me now to convince me to be Toivel? Tiski, I see Lamarchar, isn't it enough for you to come tomorrow? I'll be table tomorrow, what's the rush?" Yada, and he understood, Mike Amarle, what she was alluding to, that she hadn't yet cleansed herself, and therefore she is postponing till tomorrow. Amar, he responded, is that the problem? Dudi chasart, are you lacking pots of water to clean yourself? Tishtaki chasart, are you lacking stools to sit on while you clean yourself? Avdi chasart, are you missing, do you need help? Are you lacking slaves? I'll arrange it for you, I'll take care of you, take care of the Chafifa, and go be Toivel. So although it was already nighttime, it was already Balayla, we see, nevertheless she can be Toivel, even though she's being Chayfef Balayla. So this is a proof to the Shita that allows her to be Chayfef Balayla, even though she is being Toivel that very night. And as Tesis explains, it seems to be only a B'diyeved. However, the preferred method is, the Rashi explains over here, that since there is a chashash, there's a concern of memaheres, of muhuma lebesa, that she will be rushed, therefore the preferred method is, of course, to do the chafifa in a relaxed manner during the day preceding the tefillah of the night.